This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King MOX.
Back at it as we roll on. It appears that we got everything figured out, so I think we are going to be good when it comes to getting Battlehawks kicker Rodrigo Blankenship back onto the program, coming up in just a little while. And hopefully all is well. As always, if you want to join us, 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me as well, at Matt Pauley on air. I did want to play something for you, as this kind of became a little bit of a controversy today. At no point in time did I ever think that on Sports Open Line, we would be sitting here talking a lot about the Pope, because there is a new Pope in place, and it's kind of cool. The Pope's got some ties to St. Louis, as very early on in his career, he spent a year working in the St. Louis area. So he's a Chicago guy, right? And when the news first came out, all of a sudden there were reports out there that said the new Pope is a Cubs fan. And here's the thing. How do I say this nicely? When hardcore news people that don't know sports try to do sports, sometimes the information is not factually correct. I'm not trying to take shots at anybody, even though it kind of sounds like I am. If there's ever a big national sports story, and maybe you're like listening to our national sports or our national news updates, or you're watching national news and they don't have a sports person there, there's a pretty good chance they're going to mispronounce somebody's name, or there's going to be some context to it that they don't get right. So that's just a little piece of information to keep in your back pocket, that when sports and regular news collide, if there is some sort of news that is coming from somebody that is not connected via the sports standpoint, then there's a chance it might get wrong. Like, so I believe, I'm not trying to call anybody out, it may have been ABC News that said today that the new Pope is a Cubs fan. Well, what could have easily happened is somebody told somebody at ABC News that the new Pope is a Chicago baseball fan. And, oh, the Chicago Cubs. Okay. And then they just went with it. He's a Cubs fan. No, he's a Chicago baseball fan. You don't know if that's Cubs. You don't know if it's White Sox. Again, people in the old sports industrial complex, our next question would be Cubs or White Sox. Which one is it? Big difference. Big difference. But somebody who's not in the sports world is going to sit there. Oh, they just know Cubs. Oh, it's Chicago baseball. So that no ill will involved in this. But unfortunately, when there is some incorrect information that gets out there, it can just go crazy. In fact, so much so that the Cubs even tweeted out a picture of the marquee at Wrigley Field, the very famous Wrigley Field, home of the Chicago Cubs, with it reading, "Hey Chicago, he's a Cubs fan." No, he's not. He's not a Cubs fan. He's not. Fake news, as somebody would say. That's not something I say very often. In fact, I'm a little embarrassed that those words even just came out of my mouth. But it's true. That is not true. The Chicago Cubs are lying to you. They're, you know, we should. They do those little like community notes on Twitter. Yeah, we need to community note this. Somebody get on this. I'm somebody who's smarter than me and knows how to like request a community note. Go there. And you can, if you go to my Twitter, you can see where I retweeted something from the Pope's brother saying that he was never. In fact, you know what? Let's just go ahead and play this. This is our new Pope. I'm not Catholic. Can I say our? Sure. Our new Popes? The new Popes? I don't even know the language to go with here. The new Pope's brother. This is what he had to say. Credit goes to WGN News in Chicago. They spoke with the Pope's brother, and they were really getting into the hard news here.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know where that came from. He was always a Sox fan. Our mother was a Cubs fan. I don't know, maybe that clued in there. And our dad was a Cardinals fan, so I don't know where that all came from. And all the aunts, our mom's family was from North Side, so that's why they were Cubs fans.
But he rooted for the White Sox.
That's right. But where it came from, I don't know, because he would have been the only one.
Okay, so there it is. Again, the first statement out of the Pope brother's name or a Pope brother's mouth is very important.
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan, so I don't know.
He was never, ever a Cubs fan. He was never, ever a Cubs fan. So, at Cubs on Twitter and everybody out there who, I mean, the Chicago media, the baseball media in Chicago, they were taking victory laps this morning. You couldn't go anywhere on social media without seeing everybody in Chicago celebrating the fact that the new Pope is a Cubs fan, and it was not true, not real at all. At all. Dude's a White Sox fan. Good for him. Now, the Pope's brother did mention his mom. God bless her. I'm sorry. She was a Cubs fan, but much more importantly, his dad was a Cardinals fan. So mom, a Cubs fan because she grew up in Northside Chicago. Dad was a Cardinals fan. Don't know where the dad grew up, but doesn't matter. He was a Cardinals fan. And then somehow, some way, he became a, well, he grew up on the south side of Chicago. So he became a White Sox fan. So yeah, for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can see the marquee where the Cubs are just lying to you. You know what? If you're Catholic and you're a Cubs fan, you shouldn't be a Cubs fan anymore. This should offend, not just if you're Christian, if you have a faith in anything, if you have a faith in anything and you're a Cubs fan, you should say you have to denounce your fandom. You know, some people like to want to denounce God. No, denounce the Cubs. Denounce them. And because they are lying to you about the Pope. I mean, there's a lot of things in this world that you can lie about, and you'll probably get away with it. You'll be okay. It's going to be all right. Like, I'm never somebody to say that lying is okay, but, like, what's the stat? We all, like, lie, like, you know, a lie comes out of our mouth, like, once every hour or something crazy like that. I don't know. Maybe it's more often than not. That's what the statistic says. Okay, so if we're all lying about stuff, that's fine. But you're lying about the Pope? Man, if Wrigley Field has like a massive power outage or something, we know why, right? If that marquee gets hit by lightning, we know why. The answer to that is because...
Yeah, he was never, ever a Cubs fan.
He was never, ever a Cubs fan. He was never, ever a Cubs fan. So there you go. Kevin, by the way, sends a message and does not appreciate me using this time to talk about the Pope. Come on. A new Pope gets put in place like once every, third or fourth time in my lifetime. It doesn't happen very often. And now we've got the baseball angle to go along with that. Oh, and I'm getting some stuff on the text that people enjoy me talking about the Pope. So there you go. The Pope is not a Cubs fan. And that applies to the, by the way, You want the Cardinals to be good? Like, we don't need any favor towards the Cubs. We don't. We just don't need that. So the Pope not, and probably if the Pope's a, you know what I know about White Sox fans? White Sox fans don't like the Cubs. They do. They take offense. If you've ever been around Chicago baseball fans, like, Cubs fans don't really hate the White Sox. They kind of, they're sort of just not even on their radar. White Sox fans hate the Cubs. White Sox fans tend to hate Cubs fans. There is much more hate from the White Sox to the Cubs than there is from the Cubs to the White Sox. So I know he's the Pope. He's not supposed to hate. That's a pretty important part of all of this. But he probably has a negative disposition. Let's go with that. Negative disposition towards the Cubs. So I'm happy about that. We've run this thing down. We have figured it out. The Pope does not like the Cubs. He likes the White Sox. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And together, we host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crimedy.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Back at Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. I initially meant to just kind of throw that Pope thing in as sort of a side thing, but you know, he's not a Cubs fan, so we had to go with that. John Camp is our reporter. He even said that he just got an ESPN notification on his phone that they said that, you know, that's with that same audio that I just mentioned. So it's news that he is very much not a Cubs fan. He's a White Sox fan. So we will move on from that conversation for now. We are awaiting a call from Rodrigo Blankenship. Hope to talk with him coming up in just a moment or so, as we will talk with him about all things Battlehawks football. He is coming off a really solid week where he was named the Special Teams Performer of the Week for the United Football League. He has been the most reliable kicker in the league so far this year. He is the only UFL kicker that has not yet missed a field goal, and he was 2 for 2 this past weekend, and his 14 successful field goals this year tops in the league. So hopefully we will talk with Rodrigo coming up in just a moment or so. So there you go. Again, Cardinals are off today. That's why we've got the full two-hour show. They're about to hit the road for a three-city trip, and man, three-city trips scare me. They do. It can go okay. Like, you can get done with it and say, okay, you survived the three city trip for sure, and everything ends up being okay. And bluntly, like, they're on this three-city trip that starts tomorrow. You've got two of the three teams are very beatable teams in Washington and Kansas City. I think you really hope that you can take two out of three from Washington, and you also hope that Kansas City starts to slow down. Kansas City's on a run. I don't know if people have really noticed the run that they are on. Now, a large part of it is connected to the fact that they've been playing terrible teams here recently. They played a three-game series against the Orioles where they won the last two, and then they played a four-gamer against who we just were talking about, the White Sox, and they were able to sweep through that. So it definitely helps the Royals that they've been playing lesser competition, but you know, the season got started. They had a very slow start to their year. So it's been a year of kind of a roller coaster. So in that way, it might actually be good that the Cardinals are catching Kansas City at the end of the trip, because maybe by that time they slow down. Like, that scares me about Baltimore. They're going to face off against Baltimore at the end of the month. Baltimore's terrible right now. I don't know how terrible they are going to be as the year ends up going along, but you don't want them to kind of get some wind in their sails before the Cardinals face them. So, look, people like me look too deep into these things, right? Like, you look at the schedule and you try to analyze the schedule and, oh, you want to be playing this team at this time. Oh, it's a three-city trip. Which team would you want to play first? Which team would you want to play last? And I do that. I'm guilty of it. I've been talking about it here over the last few minutes. At the end of the day, go win games, and it is going to it's going to be okay. You know, I got a text message earlier from 314 when I was talking about kind of my expectations for this team moving forward, and my expectations haven't changed from the start of the season. I still think this team has as wide of a range from their ceiling to floor as just about any team in baseball. Can this team keep doing a version of what they're doing right now and stay in contention and stay in the neighborhood of 500 and maybe even a little bit more than 500 because they go on a little bit of a run? Yeah, all of that is possible. Is it also possible that this team completely falls off? Yeah, that is very much a possibility as well. And especially, you know, they've basically been the fourth place team in the division for much of the season. Right now, they're tied for second, but it's a three-way tie. So, you know, from a semantical standpoint, they're tied for fourth as well. You got the first-place team with the Cubs, and they've got three teams after that that are there. So we've talked about it. This is going to be a season where I think they're going to be really close. But again, the text message I got, it asked me if I was losing my mind because there's still 120 games to go, because I have been somewhat positive about what's going on. I don't think I'm losing my mind. And I'll repeat what I said before the season even got started. Like, I don't get everything right. I get stuff wrong. I know I get stuff wrong. And I'm going to continue to get stuff wrong on occasion for sure. But my whole thing before the season got started was I didn't understand why people had such low expectations for this Cardinals team, where the offense by luck was going to be better. Starting pitching was probably going to be about the same. And even if the bullpen took a step back from last year, it wasn't going to take so much of a step back that it outweighed what you were going to gain from a step forward from the offense. Now, what I didn't get right in all that is, at its worst this year, when the bullpen has just been completely non-trustworthy, that's been enough for this team to look bad. That's been enough for this team to have a really, really hard time winning games. They have seemingly righted the ship a little bit. I still believe in a lot of these guys. This Gordon Graceffo development, that's a big thing right now. And I'm not trying to put a lot on him. Again, he's a guy who didn't make the club out of spring, had his first opportunity with the Cardinals earlier this year, and it didn't go well. I mean, dude's got a plus six ERA. But what we've seen from him in these last three appearances it's been very promising to see what we've seen from him. And if you can start to rely on him a little bit more, and if starting pitching can continue to stay healthy, where you've got the opportunity to keep Steven Matz there in the bullpen, well, all that adds up to a team that should be better than the team was last year. I don't think that's crazy that again, that's where I never the fourth place finish, the just over 70 win prognostications from people going into this season, that's where I jumped off. Because I'm not telling you this team's going to be in the playoffs. I'm not even telling you this team's for sure going to be over 500. I think they'll be in the neighborhood. But I just didn't understand why so many people had this assumption that it was going to be a complete drop-off, even compared from last year. Even if you thought the bullpen was going to take a little bit of a step back, the other stuff should have been good enough. And I think that's the way it's played out through the first almost 40 games of the season, through 38 games here so far this year. That's the way it has seemingly played out. And if they can play better on the road, that would go a long way toward, like, you look for reasons that they can be better. And I think specifically the reasons that they can be better than what they've done in the first 38 games is they should have a better win-loss record on the road, and they should also and they also play a schedule that's going to be a little bit easier. Now, from a perspective why they may not be as good, offensively, can this hold up? Because there are some gaudy numbers. Gaudy number, maybe gaudy is too strong. One of them's gaudy. Because of where it's ranked, the St. Louis Cardinals right now have the best team batting average in all of Major League Baseball. They are number one. They have a .260 team batting average. You listen to me a lot. I know I'm dismissive of batting average a lot. Like, I don't think that tells the story. I'm an OPS guy over more than anything else. So I feel like I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when all of a sudden when batting average is when it supplements my point, all of a sudden I start using it. So I'm trying to be fair about this. I'm not telling you that batting average is end all be all, but it's not nothing. And they've got a .260 average. There's two teams at .259, the Los Angeles Dodgers and the Philadelphia Phillies. So those are your top three teams in batting average right now in baseball. And you start to look at some of the other numbers and where they rank. Cardinals are second in baseball when it comes to hits. Like, we could go through all the various numbers, but they've got some really good numbers from an offensive standpoint. I don't think they're going to lead Major League Baseball in hitting when all is said and done. I don't that number is going to fall off. Some other numbers are going to start to move forward, but that does tell a little bit more of the story of where things are at right now, which definitely is something to take note of, I think, as we continue to evaluate this season. And while there's still a lot of people out there that are trying to decide whether to hop on, I know what I'm about to say is a really common thing for, I think, a healthy bit of the Cardinal fan base. You're stuck right now between being upset with the organization, not liking John Mozeliak, not liking Oliver Marmol, not liking the DeWitts, all these things, much of which I disagree with. Like, I'm not saying that's where I'm at. I'm saying, speaking for a group of fans who I hear from all the time, that's where you're at. You have all these negative feelings towards different pieces in the organization. I can sit here and argue with you why I think you're wrong about a lot of that stuff, but that doesn't matter for this conversation. For this conversation, all that matters is that's where you're at. You have negative feelings about a lot of things going on with the organization. While on the other hand, it's been a fun team and an exciting team, and it's been a respectable team. They're 500. I'm not crowning them. Like, there's no guarantee that they're going to be anything special, but they are a... So you're stuck between the two areas on what this is going to look like moving forward, and whether or not this is a team that's going to be worth, you know, your time and watching what is going on here moving forward. I think we're going to get Rodrigo Blankenship. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll get him on right after this break. We'll talk Battlehawks football coming up in just a moment or so. Don't go anywhere. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back out of here on KMOX. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line. Great to have you with us today. The Battlehawks, they're on a little bit of a run here, which is really, really good. And they pick up some weekly honors this past weekend as they're able to get Defensive Player of the Week, also Special Teams Player of the Week. And that is none other than Rodrigo Blankenship, who joins us on the program right now. Rodrigo, thanks for taking some time with us today. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, how much I'm always careful when I like talk about guys' numbers, so I won't say the specific thing to you that you've got going, but how good are you feeling right now with just your performance and what you've been able to do this year?
Yeah, it's been nice to be able to perform at the level that I have so far, but the season, you know, still has plenty of life left to it. And so I just have to continue to go out and prepare at a high level so that I can go out and try and continue to perform at a high level for the rest of our games this season.
Take me through that, because I think people understand, like, if you're a player on offense or defense or even a specialist that's, you know, on the kickoff unit or whatever, like the things that you can do to prepare. For you personally, what does that look like as you're getting prepared for any given game?
Well, I mean, it starts with, you know, trying to have a good week of practice. You know, I have my routine that I like to go through to try and make sure that I'm ready to go for all of our practices each week. And, you know, that's kind of where it starts, is just being able to go out and have a good week of practice and just feel confident about how I'm striking the ball that week. And then after that, it's just kind of a matter of taking care of my body for the last couple of days, you know, while we travel for wherever our game is going to be, and then the morning of, because most of our games are night. So, you know, that's kind of a way that, you know, if you're smart, you can kind of separate yourself a little bit, is using the day of the game as a, you know, last minute kind of a body prep and recovery work. So, you know, just trying to make sure that I do all of those things the right way will also just put me in a good place physically. And then going over my film from, you know, from practice, going over my kicks to see the things that I did well, and, you know, trying to kind of hone in on those things as I get ready to go out for the game. And as long as I do all of those things, then, you know, that usually sets me up to be able to have a pretty strong performance when it comes time for game day.
That's interesting. So you, in terms of looking at film from practice, so you go back and you look at basically every kick or almost every kick that you take in practice, and you use that to get better?
Yeah, absolutely. I go back and watch every kick. As long as we have the film available, we had a minor technical difficulty yesterday where one of our cameras was overheating, so I didn't get to see the last couple kicks from yesterday, but I'll still have another opportunity to get some more kicks on film tomorrow. That'll be our last practice of the week before we head to Memphis. So yeah, I want to make sure that I look at all of my kicks, make sure that I, you know, look at the things that went right. If anything didn't go right, then I'll, you know, look at that to see where things maybe didn't go how I wanted them to, and I can use that to make corrections to help me be as best as I can be for our game.
You were an incredible college kicker. You won the Lou Groza Award at Georgia. You put together a four-year run that was nothing short of fantastic. How much better are you now compared to who you were when you left Georgia and when you became a pro?
I think the biggest thing has just been the leg strength. I think that I'm stronger now than I was at the time. You know, just having more reps, I think that I've just been able to be a little bit more refined and just a little bit more consistent. You know, I've had pretty solid field goal numbers ever since I left college, whether it was with the Colts or the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. You know, so the what I've been able to do from a field goal perspective up until this point, I think, has been a little bit better than what it was in college, and I just hope that I can continue to show that I am more consistent and more accurate than I was in college, as well as stronger. Obviously, it kind of took a little bit of a, I'm not going to say a setback, but just, you know, a step in my journey of having hip surgery a couple of years ago, just because I had some recurring injuries that I couldn't really fully get rid of. And so I had a hip surgery in January of 2023. And I think that, you know, ever since I've gotten back to being able to kick fully, I feel like that has helped me to be stronger than I ever was before.
Yeah, you mentioned your pro career with the Colts and with the Cardinals, and you got an opportunity to, you know, be with the Buccaneers a little bit before eventually getting this Battlehawks opportunity. Is that, to going back to what you just talked about with coming off the hip surgery, is this the opportunity with the Battlehawks for you to show NFL teams that you're still the same guy, if not better, than you were early on in your professional career?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I appreciate the opportunity that the Battlehawks organization has given to me to be a part of their team and to, you know, use the UFL as an opportunity to show everybody else that, you know, I'm still capable of performing at a high level. So I'm very grateful to be here. And, you know, I just want to make the absolute most of it. But yeah, this is, you know, absolutely an opportunity that has been on my radar. It was, you know, on my radar throughout the course of the most recent NFL season, where, you know, my thought process was kind of, if I don't get a call during the NFL season, then the UFL is the next opportunity that I would want to look forward to and try and push myself and, you know, try and advertise myself to get in there. So I'm very thankful to be here, and I just hope that I can continue to maximize the opportunity that's been given to me.
Is that a common thought right now for NFL guys? Because when the UFL was the XFL, and when, you know, spring football, there was another league out there, like the leagues haven't been able to completely hold on, and now this is the thing that finally seems to have maybe a little bit of lasting power, and there's been a lot of guys who have gotten NFL opportunities by coming through the UFL. Is there kind of a league-wide feeling for NFL guys that if you're not on a roster, going to the UFL is a really good opportunity to find your way back to the NFL?
I would hope that is the mindset. It's hard to say just because I haven't been in an NFL locker room in a little while. It's hard to say if, you know, if that's the thinking or not. I also haven't talked to too many other, you know, free agent specialists recently, but I do know that, you know, the opportunity that I used to get in front of UFL personnel was a kicking combine in San Diego that was hosted by former NFL kicker John Carney. He is based in San Diego, and he trains kickers and punters out there of, you know, all ages, high school, college, and some pros as well. And so he partnered with the UFL to host a combine back in December, and I went to that showcase to get in front of some UFL personnel, and there was probably about 30 to 35 other kickers there. A lot of them had previous NFL stints at one point or another in their careers. And, you know, there was plenty of punters and snappers as well. So at least all the guys that went to that showcase, and there was another one hosted by Nick Novak, who used to kick in the NFL as well. So all of the guys that went to those showcases are, you know, very aware of the UFL and the opportunities that it provides. And so hopefully more guys will see, even if it's, you know, not just kicking and punting. I mean, there have been guys at all positions across the league that have given themselves opportunities to go back to the NFL because of how they performed in the spring leagues. So hopefully more, you know, more free agents will recognize that and appreciate it and try and push themselves to get into this league and use it as an opportunity to get back to where they want to go.
Rodrigo Blankenship continuing to join us, Battlehawks kicker. You've got the nickname Hot Rod. That's a great nickname because your first name is Rodrigo. How long have you had that nickname? What was the, did somebody give it to you? What was the origin of it?
I think I've had it since my college days. And really, I think it was just the Georgia fans that started to call me that. Once I started to kick for the team, during the 2016 season, it kind of caught on then, and it's been around ever since.
You've played in the NFL, you've played SEC football, so you've played in front of incredible fan bases, and spring football is always going to be a little bit off of that, but we know that Battlehawks fans, when it comes to the rest of the league, is the best. How different is it for you when you're kicking in a game at the Dome in St. Louis and you've got all the noise and all the craziness versus what it's like in some of these other environments that kind of are a little bit stale?
I mean, kicking in the Battle Dome is awesome. It is absolutely the closest thing that you have to kicking in an NFL game. St. Louis fans are awesome. You know, they show out in awesome numbers for us in every home game. And so I'm really thankful that I ended up coming to the Battlehawks specifically, you know, because we have an awesome environment when we get to go up to St. Louis and play our games there. And it definitely is a drastic, you know, a noticeable difference from when we have played in our couple of road games that we've had so far this season. But it's not something that I'm unaccustomed to because my rookie year in the NFL was 2020, and that was the first COVID year.
Yeah.
And so a lot of teams either had were not allowing fans at all, or were only allowing a very small percentage of their fans in their stadiums. So I remember my rookie year, I went to we played at Chicago, we played at Las Vegas, we played at Pittsburgh. And there might have been a couple others, but those I remember specifically, they were not allowing fans at all. So we walked into that stadium, and then you could see maybe a handful of security guards posted up around the stadium, and that was it. So we at least have more fans than that. So, you know, it's a different feeling, but also, you know, because of my career journey up to this point, it's, you know, not something that I haven't done before. I know that some guys, you know, kind of feed off of the energy and the liveliness of the crowd, and, you know, maybe they're able to derive some extra juice from the crowd. And so when you go to these road games and you don't have that available, you know, then what are you going to do? Then you really have to dig deep and, you know, pull that motivation for yourself without being able to feed off of the fans. But, you know, thankfully I don't think I'm one of those guys. And, but the fact that I've played in front of no fans before, you know, helps me to be able to stay locked in and not treated any differently when we go to our road games this season.
Battlehawks are 4-2. They'll play at Memphis this Sunday. The next time they play at home is going to be on May 17th when they welcome in Birmingham. That's going to be a 12 noon kickoff. Tickets are available at the UFL.com, and just get to the Battlehawks page, but the UFL.com, and everything's pretty self-explanatory from there. Rodrigo Blankenship, he is the reigning special teams player of the week in the UFL. Hey, great to get to know you a little bit. Your story's awesome. I really enjoyed this conversation. Best of luck down the road, and maybe we'll be able to chat again down the line.
Absolutely. Thank you so much again for having me tonight.
You bet. Very good. That's Rodrigo Blankenship. That's a really interesting journey that he has been on, the hip surgery, trying to get back to the NFL. Guy's been pretty successful in the NFL and hasn't had much of a shot post that injury, and then working his way back and you know, going to an event to get some scouts' eyes on him, and then being with the Battlehawks, and even his first year in the NFL being the COVID year, that playing 4 years at Georgia in the SEC. I mean, that's a guy who has accomplished and been able to experience a whole bunch of things, and really, really cool to be able to hear that story for sure. We wanted to mention this earlier when we were talking Cardinals, and we'll jump back into the Cardinals in a moment, but do want to remind you that tomorrow the Cardinals are going to open up a series against Washington. What's on Deck? It is presented by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. The sign you have the very best, chesterfieldfence.com. Three-game series begins tomorrow, 5:45 first pitch tomorrow night. That means our coverage is going to begin at 4:50. We'll come back. We'll get some of these text messages and some of the video messages that have come in to us, and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. That's up next here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It is a strike zone hour. Building the Future is sponsored by Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs based in St. Louis. Graybar is a great place to work. So the future, specifically tomorrow, is the future, building the roster for tomorrow. It would appear that Yvonne Herrera is going to be back on the team, as yesterday it came out on the MLB transactions wire that Lucan Baker was being returned to AAA Memphis, and you would assume at that point that Yvonne Herrera indeed is going to be back with the team. And now we're going to see what it looks like moving forward. The fact that Herrera dealt with a little bit of residual soreness after catching at Memphis, and the fact that Joel Pozo has done such a good job for the Cardinals, I think it makes a lot of sense. So you can make sure to keep Herrera in the lineup, if not every day, just about every day. You can catch him a little bit, and then you can DH him a little bit all at the same time. And then if you need to get him out of a game, you've got another catcher available. That's the other side of it. So you've got protection for Yvonne Herrera by going with the three catchers. So I like this roster arrangement. And like I mentioned earlier when we were talking about this during the Redbird Rush Hour, I also think this sets you up to kind of have your roster the way you want to have it look maybe in the future, because at some point Jimmy Crooks is going to be ready. And when Jimmy Crooks is ready, you're probably going to want to, if that happens in the next year, you don't want to move on from Pedro Pajes. He is the perfect guy in his role. A good defensive catcher who's never going to embarrass himself at the plate. You don't want to move on from Yvonne Herrera. That's a legit middle-of-the-order run-producing bat. Jimmy Crooks right now would appear to be the frontline catcher of the future for this team. So you want to find a way to have all those guys on the roster. So figure that out now. And that's part of what I don't think that really goes into the equation of what they're doing right now. Right now, it's quite simply they're getting more production out of Joel Pozo than they are Luke and Baker. So you get Baker back to AAA and allow him to get some timing. The Real Third Man commented on our video stream asking about doing some piggybacking where you would pair Gray and McGreevy and Graceffo and Michaelis and things like that. First off, piggybacking really doesn't happen that much in Major League Baseball. I would not be totally against it happening once per time in the rotation where you kind of have it built for a starter's going to go five and then a reliever is going to come in and go four. Two things, though, against that. A, you're playing with fire because if it goes poorly and you have to go to the bullpen, you've almost set aside this day that's supposed to be an off day for the bullpen, and then all of a sudden you go to it. That's a little bit of a dangerous situation. And then the other side of it is you've got the bullpen there for a reason, and you've got Ryan Helsley there for a reason. If it's a one-run game, a two-run game late, you want to use those guys. So generally speaking, I am against that sort of thing happening in Major League Baseball. I don't think it's a great thing to be able to do. All right, that is going to do it for the program tonight. Thanks so much for being tuned in. We'll be back with you for Cardinals baseball coming up tomorrow right here on KMOX.